in the name of Jesus. We are now deep into the Lenten season, and it behooves us today to really focus in on the object of faith, what faith really is, and to simply and clearly state what it is not. We have two feedings as part of our lections for the day. The first one you've heard over and over again, and the second one you've probably heard many times as well. Both of them are miraculous feedings. The first one, of course, is God's people, Israel. God's chosen people who, as we talked about on Wednesday, were in slavery for 400 years. 400 years, and you remember why they went to Egypt in the first place, right? For food, for bread, because of the famine. 400 years, but the bread quickly spoils there in Egypt. If you call 400 years quick, I guess over the passage of time, it is. But the Lord finally delivers them. Uses a man, a reluctant pastor, a reluctant leader by the name of Moses, and his brother Aaron, and a staff, 10 plagues, a whole bunch of other assorted miracles. Long story short, rescues them, brings them out of the wilderness. And what do the people do? Oh, we had it so good back in Egypt. Things were just wonderful. We sat by pots filled with meat. It was like going to the King Buffet or wherever your favorite place is to chow down. Tons of food. We had as much as we wanted. Life was so good. Why did you bring us out here in the wilderness? Oh, how quickly God's people find something to complain about. How about you? What is it in the midst of all that you have, all that God has given you, that you find to complain about, to whine and grumble? You might do that at a spouse, you might do that at a parent, you might do that at a boss, you might do that at a pastor. But ultimately, as we learn here in Exodus 16, and Moses and Aaron state it quite clearly, our grumbling is always against God. Always. God provides for his people by giving them manna, this fine flake-like thing that will be for the day that they need it. It's not going to last longer. It provides not only manna, but also quail. God gives them what they need in a miraculous way. John chapter 6, Jesus has been traveling around doing what Jesus does, performing, as the Apostle John records it, Samayan. Samaya, a sign, signs. That's the word that you'll find in John's gospel that's different from the rest of the gospels. Instead of the term miracle, you see the term signs. And people have been seeing these signs, but one thing you'll notice if you get in and do a word study, study scripture, or just listen to his word read to you, nowhere in Scripture does it say that signs create faith. Rather, we're told faith comes from hearing the Word, correct? And the Word is the message of Christ. And the signs, no doubt, are a tool, a means, if you will, by which God gives what we need. In the same way that baptism bestows faith, but baptism is not faith. See the difference? In the same way that the bread and the wine, when the words of our Lord are spoken over them, become also his body and blood, so that you eat and drink four things, right? Pay attention, eighth graders, if you're here this morning. I don't know if any are. We eat four things in the Lord's Supper, right? Body, blood, bread, wine. You see, the Lord's Supper now gives, bestows, strengthens faith, if you will, but it's not faith in and of itself. Are you following? And so these signs that Jesus did are all means whereby people see and behold and now can understand, and more importantly, they get what they need. They get healing. You see that? The blind do what? See. The deaf do what? Hear. The mute do what? Speak. The lame walk. You got it. You see, ultimately, what Jesus has come to do is to grant healing to you in your soul and in your body. So long story short, there's a large crowd that's following Jesus. They've seen all of these signs. But we're told they follow him not because of faith, but because of the signs. John is very specific in that regards. And as we hear through the rest of the gospel, well, it's quite similar to what we heard from Exodus 16, and perhaps similar to our own life, and perhaps even to our misunderstanding of what faith truly is. They're following Jesus because of the signs. Jesus goes up on the mountain, and he sits down there to teach. Obviously, this should bring to mind the fact that all of these amazing events and occurrences in Scripture happen on a mountain of some sort. We don't know the exact mountain where this feeding in John 6 took place. But all good things come from above, from the Father above, Father of light, not of darkness. Jesus lifts up his eyes and he sees the large crowd, and Jesus is as Jesus does. He cares for them, which means he knows their needs and he wants to provide for them. But first, because Jesus is all about bestowing faith and understanding faith, he tests Philip and the rest of the disciples. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? It's a trick question, or rhetorical, if you will, because of course they're... There's no place to buy bread where they're at. They're outside the city. They're up on a mountain. That would be like you headed up into the sand hills, start driving, and then ask where the closest Applebee's is, right? Not going to happen. I don't think Valentine has one either. You know what I mean. Testing of faith. Something that God is always about for you and me. God does not tempt, as Scripture tells us, but he certainly does test. But the result of the testing of your faith to see whether you truly trust that God will provide for what you need, the true testing of your faith is always about faith itself. It's always about focusing your eyes, your ears, your mind, your heart, and your body towards the one who freely gives. Long story short, I've said that a few times now, haven't I? 200 denarii, a whole bunch of money, is not going to feed this crowd. 5,000 men are recorded in this text. We don't know how many women and children, so it's a pretty good bunch of people. But wait, there's a boy who's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I would imagine that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was the jokester of the group. Wouldn't he have to be? They're talking about feeding 5,000 men plus the women and the children, and he pipes up, there's a boy over here, it's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And you can just imagine the disciples and perhaps even Jesus are falling to the ground, clutching their bellies. That's real funny, Andrew. But Jesus gets serious because Jesus, as you know, is all about providing for his people. He's all about providing for you, even though you and I, well, we forget all the things he's done for us. We forget all the things that we do have. And so he sits them down. And he takes the loaves and he gives thanks, blesses it, prays, The word give thanks in Scripture is literally give glory, doxa, if you will, to recognize that what we have here comes from God. It's the same reason that all of you here were taught and probably can teach your children and your grandchildren to say thanks at mealtime before you eat. Whatever mealtime prayer you are doing, what you are doing is saying, this food, even if I've prepared it, even if I've slaved over it, even if I've worked hard in preparation, this is from God. And He's given us now this to eat at this time. Thank you, God. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you perhaps for giving me the ability to cook, or my wife, or whoever is cooking. Thank you. May this food be to your glory, but may it be for our good. Jesus does just that. And lo and behold, another amazing miracle occurs, a sign that points to the fact that the one who has come to do this is not just another regular human being. This is God in the flesh made manifest. The same one, by the way, who is still at work for you in your life, if you believe that, I guess. Or maybe He is whether you do or don't. They eat as much as they wanted. Interesting word there. Because we talk about wants versus need. In the Old Testament, we see that God's people will have what they need, enough manna for the day. If they leave it to the morning, do you remember what happened to it? It gets worms in it. It doesn't last. But they had as much as they could eat. And here now in the New Testament, now that Christ has come, the Old Testament, which pointed forward to Him, He has come and He gives not only what they need, but as much as they want to eat. Not only that, what do we have happen in the New Testament text that doesn't happen in the Old? There's leftovers. 12 baskets full. Now, what does all this have to do with me? Your sinful nature is probably asking, well, how are your needs? How are your wants? Do you have what you need? Do you struggle as a sinner because your wants outweigh your needs? Ooh, good question, Pastor. Or, bad question, I don't want to talk about that. That'll reveal where I'm weak. There's nothing wrong with having stuff and having lots of extra food as long as we don't look to these things in a sinful way, as long as we're not grumbling like the Israelites were, or as long as perhaps we're not like the people here in John 6. Because did you see what happened to the people in John 6, this feeding of the 5,000? This amazing miracle happens that everybody sees, and they eat, they get everything they want, and how do they respond? This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. And Jesus, perceiving then that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, Jesus withdraws to the mountain by Himself. They had everything that they needed and more. But what was the problem? They wanted to make Jesus do what they wanted. They wanted Him to be their bread king, if you will. They wanted Him to be the guy who would make sure their bank accounts are full and fat, and that this meal that they had would continue in the same way every day, rather than simply trusting that He would continue to provide for him. They wanted, instead of faith, to make God do what they wanted. And so instead of faith, they were all about force, putting God in a box, making God do according to their bidding. Thus, the difference between faith and this other thing, making it by force, is faith simply trusts. Faith doesn't know what's going to come the next day. Faith may not always know where the next meal is going to come from, where the next dollar is going to show up from. Faith continues to work, to do what God has given you, and faith continues to trust that God will give what you need. How is it that you can trust and know that God will provide? Well, you've been made free. You're no longer a child of the slave woman. You've been bought, redeemed, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood, the innocent suffering and death of this same man, Jesus, who is also God. He has redeemed you, justified you, promised that even though you die, yet shall you live. Has promised that as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they care for you now as your children, and they will take care of you. Interesting story. In Exodus 16, the people grumble and they sin, and yet God provides because they're his children. John 6, Jesus knows what they're going to do, and he gives them yet bread anyway. What a beautiful, beautiful promise that we have. God who gives us perhaps not even that which we ask for, but always provides that which we need. This week sometime, I'd invite you to look further at John 6, specifically John 6, 47 to 51, which reads as follows. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes, has faith, has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." You have what you need for eternal salvation. Though your wants have often outweighed your needs, though you have questioned and doubted whether God will provide for you, you're forgiven. You're made a child of the free woman. And there your mother holds you in the church, where you receive, just as a little baby, the gifts he freely gives: forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. God grant us such faith. Repentance of the times that we try and take heaven and God's gifts by force, that we may continue to trust and gladly receive that which he gives. In the name of Jesus.